Hey there, everybody. I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries. I'm talking to you today about 10 signs of an unhealthy friend. And this is a hot topic for me. The reason why it's a hot topic is because the worst mistake that I ever made was getting involved in an unhealthy friendship. And there were some things about me that were unhealthy and the reasons why I got involved, meaning I loved to be the rescuer of people. I was absolutely a codependent. But from this experience, I also gained a lot of wisdom and insight that I'd like to share with you. And the reason why I really want to share this and why it's heavy on my heart is because I don't think we talk about this enough in the church. And that's because we're called to love everybody. But what we don't help people to see, and what I want you to see, is that while we are called to love everybody and respect everybody, we should be picky about our close personal friends, because the company that we keep will have an impact on our life. It will influence us. And so if we want to walk in ways that are wise, we want to walk with the wise. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble." 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts good character. And so we see inside of God's word, and we see this a lot, not just in those two places, but over and over again, we see that God wants us to be discerning about our close personal friendships, that while we are called to be inside of community, and while you and I are called, yes, to love everybody and respect everybody, and there are people that God has called us to be in ministry to, while all of that is true, we are not called to be close personal friends with everybody. And so I'm going to be giving you 10 signs of an unhealthy friend. And I'm going to be taking it straight from God's word and showing you these truths in a lot of places, but we're going to be basing it today off of a story in the Bible found in Joshua chapter 7. When Joshua, in his haste, did not inquire of the Lord and entered into a peace treaty with a group that he was not supposed to be in a covenant type relationship with. So has that ever happened to you? Have you ever gotten involved in an unhealthy friendship? Did you in your haste think this is a good friendship for me? And you just sort of jumped in. And when you jumped in deep. And then later on, you found out that this person was possessive. This person was controlling. This person demanded too much of your time. This person made you feel guilty a lot. This person maybe was doing things or talking about people or gossiping or, you know, just pulling you down. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you think that, that you could never be involved in a bad relationship like this, think again. As our story opens up, Joshua has been leading the Israelites. He's a leader over the Israelites. He's 80 years old. And so the thing is that Joshua is a wise old person. But even in that, the Bible tells us inside of this story that he did not inquire of the Lord and that he jumped into a covenant type relationship with the Gibeonites, a people that God said, "I don't want you to intermarry, to associate with these people," right? And because of that, it created an impact on the Israelites for years to come. And the same is true of us. The Holy Spirit, just like God told the Israelites. It's actually found in Exodus 23, 32. It says this, make no treaties with them or their gods. They must not live in your land or they will cause you to sin against me. If you serve their gods, you will be caught in the trap of idolatry. So God told the Israelites, when they went inside of the promised land, that there were certain people that he did not want them to make treaties with. Now, of course, God wanted them to be influencers. And we see that. We see that where Rahab actually realized that these were God's chosen people, and she ended up living among the Israelites. Right? Because she became one of them, right? So God still wanted them to be influencers. But what he didn't want were for these people to become influencers over them. And sometimes, and this is the reason why we have to beware of unhealthy friendships, because it can create a dynamic in our life where that friend is taking top priority. And instead of serving God, that person has so much control over our time and over our life that we're not able to do that. And again, if you think, oh, I could never get involved in an unhealthy friendship, that's exactly what I thought. But we see inside of our passage this week that Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, that led them out of the wilderness and into the promised land, that gave them victory, that he did not pause, did not inquire of the Lord, and got involved in an unhealthy friendship. All right, so let's dive right in. So as our story opens up, Joshua has experienced much victory. The Israelites have settled. They have experienced much victory inside of the promised land, and they are working to secure and to settle that area. And as our story opens up, there is a group called the Gibeonites, and people are beginning to hear about these Israelites, that, you know, they serve this powerful God. And so the Gibeonites, in an effort to really save their hind, come to Joshua. And the Bible says that they resort, some translations say, to a ruse or disguising themselves to try to get a peace treaty with Joshua. So in other words, they are not really being who they are. They're involved in trickery to try to get something from Joshua, okay? So Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done in Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags, old patched wineskins. They put on worn-out patched sandals and raggedy clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel, Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." Now let's stop right there. So Joshua and the Israelites they've just met the Gibeonites, and immediately the Gibeonites want a peace treaty. The first sign of an unhealthy friend is that they will rush intimacy with you. They will rush intimacy. And when I'm talking about intimacy, I'm talking about an emotional intimacy, right? Because this is not, this is for friendship. This is not for a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship if you're dating, although these principles can absolutely be applied to that. But for our sake inside of this podcast, I'm talking about friendships. If somebody is rushing intimacy with you, if they want to know all about you from the very get-go, if they just spill the beans about themselves in the get-go, that should really throw up a red flag. Now, you and I are wired for intimate fellowship, for connection, And when I say that, again, I'm not talking about physical. I'm just talking about close, authentic friendship. So we're wired for that, okay? And so when people want to enter into, and again, they weren't asking Joshua to get to know more about their God, right? They immediately came in and they wanted that peace treaty. They wanted that covenant type relationship. Okay. And so another sort of sign of this someone that's rushing intimacy is they want to be with you all the time. They have to have this close connection with you. That should send up a red flag because you never, ever rush intimacy. And if somebody is trying to rush intimacy with you, it's because they want to like seal the deal. Okay, because usually unhealthy people have an ulterior motive in place, and we're getting ready to go into that. Okay, so you never rush intimacy, never. All right, I'm reading on. Verse 7, the Israelites replied to these Hivites, "How do we know you don't live nearby? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you." And they replied, "We are your servants." Now, let's stop right there. Another sign of an unhealthy friendship is not only that they rush intimacy, but that they offer to help you. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, aren't we as friends supposed to help each other? Absolutely. But if somebody is like really bent over backwards, like to a point where it's just kind of weird, like they're trying to help you. Oftentimes what an unhealthy person will do, will start out the friendship this way by trying to help you, but it's in order to get a hook into you. They offer to do all this stuff for you, but it's not really because they have your best interest at heart. It's because they have the ulterior motive of wanting to control you. Now, I have friends that offer to help me, and I certainly offer to help my friends. And so I'm not saying that if a friend offers to help you, they're unhealthy. Of course not. But do you see the tone in this? They replied, "We are your servants." And so when somebody has that mentality, sort of a like, I don't know, like I'll do whatever you say, blah, 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 that is not healthy. That brings me to my next point. An unhealthy friend in the get-go, one, will rush intimacy. Two, will offer help as a hook. And number three, that person will often flatter. They will often flatter. Now, in the next verse, in verse 9, they say that they're from a distant country, but you and I know that's not true. Okay, and then it goes on to say, "We've heard about the might of your Lord, your God, and all he did in Egypt, and we've also heard what he did to the kings. So our elders and all our people instructed us, take our supplies for a long journey, go and meet with the people of Israel and tell them, we're your servants, please make a treaty with us." Oftentimes, unhealthy people will flatter, and flattery is manipulation. Now, I'm not talking about being encouraging, but I'm just saying if somebody is overly like thinking and telling you that you are all that in a bag of chips, to me, when that happens, it automatically sends up a red flag. Okay, and there's a big difference between encouraging other people and flattering. I'm going to read this to you from Jude, where it's talking about being careful about certain relationships. This is from Jude 12 and 16. "When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want." If someone is a flattery about you or you see them doing it with other people, I would have a caution about that person. Okay, so the next thing is this, that an unhealthy friend is a friend that is agenda-driven versus agape-driven. Agenda-driven versus agape-driven. Now, agape love is completely give-based. It is not there to take. It is there to give. Agenda-driven means I am giving to you to get something for me. Now, before we start pointing our fingers at the Gibeonites and maybe other healthy friends that you had, can I tell you that people-pleasing is agenda-driven? It is, because I am pleasing you to try to get you to like me. So it can be so subtle and very deceptive, right? But true agape love, which is that's the kind of love that we want inside of friendships, is not agenda driven. We are not being friends or being nice to people to get something for us. And it could be anything. It could be protection. It could be companionship yourself, right? That's exactly why the Gibeonites were doing this, because they wanted protection. They were trying to save their hinds. And a lot of times when people are being unhealthy towards us, when they're trying to control and manipulate, and that's just how they are, really at the bottom of that is a wounded, hurting heart that wants desperately to be loved. And so they become possessive over people, protective over people, but it is not healthy. And the reason it's not healthy really goes back to this idea of worship. God is the only person worthy of worship. You're not worthy of worship. That other person is not worthy of worship. But what sometimes can happen, especially if you are codependent, is that you feel very good in relationships where you can rescue. You like being the rescuer. Now, how did I know that? Because that was me. And some days I still have to watch that. And so when I can rescue people, right? Then I feel really good, right? But the thing is that we're not the rescuers. Jesus is the rescuer. And conversely, people that come in and try to control, they're trying to control for a reason. Well, the only person that needs to be, that we give that kind of control to, is God alone. And so if somebody is agenda-driven, and usually when people are agenda-driven, and it can be good agendas, it could be agendas like, I don't know, they could have the agenda, they want you to go out to lunch with them, they want you to have coffee, whatever it is. It could be good agendas, okay? That's what I want you to see. It could be good agendas, right? But free will is very, very important. And so when their agenda gets in the way, or when you're not applying to their agenda, then they don't like that. But the thing is with free will is that that is a precious gift that God has given you, and you need to guard it. And so when people are agenda-driven versus agape-driven, agape is give-based love. It is unconditional. It's not looking for anything in return. It's the same love that God gives us. Agenda-driven says, I'm giving to you to get something for me. And inside of this passage, what the Gibeonites were looking for was protection. And that's why they gave. And sometimes, conversely, on the other side, you can think about it this way. And I know we said that we were just doing this for friendships. I think this applies more to a dating relationships. But a lot of times, if you look at a woman and she's dating somebody who is possessive and protective and not healthy, and you're like, why is she doing that? Well, deep down, she's given a part of her soul away because she wants that need inside of her, that need that every woman has to feel secure. She's given that away so that she can feel protected, right? So we need to be, watch out for that, right? So that we will stay clear of people that are agenda-driven and not agape-driven. And when I say stay clear, again, you're called to love these people. And there may be some of these people God puts in your life that you're called to be in ministry to. But what I'm talking about are your close personal friendships. Okay. So the next key or the next thing that you can look for is that an unhealthy friend is often somebody, and this kind of goes along with our last point, that is attracted to people with power for their own self-interest. Their own self-interest. And so they wanted to be close to the Israelites for their own self-interest. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, didn't Rahab do that too in Joshua chapter 2? Yes, she did. Okay? She wanted to be with the Israelites because she knew that God was the Almighty God. But she also was very upfront with who she was and what her purpose was. And she said, I know that your God is the one true God. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in that. All right, the next point is that unhealthy friends manipulate. And I'm going to give you one other point with that, and I'm going to talk about them at the same time. They are manipulative. They are deceptive. And let me put one more in here. And they also distort the truth to gain a following. So in this passage, we see that they were manipulative. In other words, they disguised who they really were so that they could get in good with Joshua. And the Bible tells us in verse 14, it says, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. Oh, and I know there's one other point too in this about my 10 points about friendship. An unhealthy friend will also operate under covert. Now, what's covert? Overt is the opposite, and that's like blatantly whatever. Covert is like this sort of manipulative, like operating in disguise, the passive aggressive, all these sorts of things. Manipulation, guilt, and by doing it covertly, sometimes it's hard to detect. I mean, they could even use scripture to try to convince you that you need to be friends with them, right? And what I see about this and the mistake that I made and the reason why I feel like we need to talk about this inside of the church is that oftentimes, and I know I did this, we think, well, somebody is going to church and, you know, they have this title inside of church, or they have like 50 Bibles, or they know where all the books of the Bibles are, or whatever. And we automatically drop our guard. And we think that, well, they go to church, so I should be a close personal friend with them. Not true. It's not true. In fact, if you look in the New Testament, the majority of verses that warn us about the people that we associate with are actually people inside of the church. Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. So these Gibeonites came in and they said, we'll serve you. And they were flattering them. And then they put on all this disguise and everything, but really they had ulterior motives. And then in Acts 20:28-31, it says, so guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, his church purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Verse 29, I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to gain a following. Watch out. So these are people that are inside of the church, and they may look like on the outside that they're sheep, right? Because whatever, they carry 50 Bibles and they do all this, and they're in leadership in church even. I mean, in that Acts passage, Paul, when he was saying these people from among you, Paul was with the elders of the church in Ephesus when he was talking about that. And these are really like we don't want to say that because we want to just think, okay, everybody that goes to church, I should, you know, this. And the truth is that the Bible says we're to love the body of Christ. Okay, but your close personal friendships, those are the ones you do need to be discerning with. And I think especially inside of the church. Now, I'm not trying to sound off bells of paranoia, but what I am saying is that I think that because we don't talk about this inside of the church enough, that I know for me, I personally felt guilty about setting boundaries, especially with people from church. I mean, I really didn't know how to say no. And I really thought, well, I'm supposed to be friends with everybody, right? Because that's what love means. And it doesn't. And now I understand that part of healthy friendship is being proactive about my friendships and praying about my friendships. And that brings me to another characteristics of an unhealthy friend. And this is probably the most important one. And that's discernment from the Holy Spirit, that this friendship is a caution. You know what I'm talking about, that red light that you might get about somebody or the yellow light. You need to pay attention to that. And the reason why you need to pay attention to that is because Jesus is the guardian of your heart. He's the guardian of your heart, right? And the truth is that we do not have the ability to really see inside somebody's heart. A lot of times, just like they didn't have the ability to see that these guys were doing what they were doing, right? But God does. And the Bible says that they did not inquire of the Lord. If they had inquired of the Lord and paid attention to God instead of just trying to figure it out with their own eyes. Because when we use our own eyes, like they could be a sheep in wolf's clothing. And on the outside, it can look really good. And then we get into the relationship and we realize that they had ulterior motives and that this person is bringing you down and not lifting you up. And that's a bad place to be in. And that's not a place that God wants you to be in. So that's why we need to trust the Holy Spirit. John 2, 24 and 25 says this, "But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew about all people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart." So see, that's why we trust the Holy Spirit, because he knows everybody's heart. And if Joshua had just paused and inquired of the Lord would have told him, I know what you see, but this is all manipulation. This is all disguise. And when we pause and pull back and ask God to give us wisdom, that's one of the most powerful, loving things that we can do. Now, let's just say Joshua did that. Let's just say that he paused back, inquired of the Lord, and then the Lord said, no. You don't need to be friends with these people. Or you don't need to make a peace treaty. I wonder what would have happened. I wonder if the Gibeonites would have said, but we see that your God is this, we see that your God is that. And then maybe Joshua and the Israelites could have said, you know, like what they did with Rahab. Don't swear allegiance to us, swear allegiance to Jesus. I mean, that's who we should be pointing people to, right? So it could have turned out completely differently. And I say that to say to you that boundaries are good. And if the Holy Spirit is giving you a caution inside of the friendship, you need to heed it. And it may be because you're not ready for the friendship for some reason. I mean, I know from personal experience that controlling people are not good friends for me. They're not. Because I can be, could fall into the trap of people pleasing again. I could do that. It's sort of like this. And again, let me say this real quick. The Gibeonites, they were just looking to protect themselves. And so a lot of times these people, their ulterior motives that they have are actually that they want to be loved. They want to be valued. They want to be cared for. That's what they want. And those are not bad things. But if you give into that friendship and give that to them, then they're missing out on getting that from God, which is where they should and need to get it from anyway. And so when God gives you a boundary, and again, with people, you know, sometimes other people can be friends with a person that maybe you don't need to be close friends with, right? Like controlling personalities, that's not a good match for me. It's not. It's kind of like this. I was talking to my father-in-law, and he has a small little farm where he plants in, and I was asking him about his fruit trees, and he told me this is something he kind of does. Like, he's retired now, so it's not like he's this big farmer or anything like that, but he's learning about it, and it's like a hunting camp, and so he'll plant things that deer like to eat and things like that, and part of those are fruit trees, and he said that he didn't know when he first started, but the fruit trees that he was planting in the same vicinity didn't do well together. There's some plants that if you plant them together, they don't do well together. And it doesn't mean the plants are bad. Like, I mean, what's wrong with a Gibeonite wanting to be protected? That's like a human need or whatever. Okay. But the Gibeonites and the Israelites were not a good match. It doesn't mean that they're bad people, right? It just meant that God wanted the Israelites to be influencers over people, not to be under the people, not to be under anybody else's influence because they were called to serve God alone. And in Exodus 23:32-33, where he was telling them, don't get involved with these people, he says this: if you serve their gods, you will be caught in the trap of idolatry. And we are called to minister to people and to be influencers, to point people back to Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. But if people, people that have negative influence over us, because now, and these Gibeonites did not have the light that the God's chosen people had, so they were serving other gods, right? But when we connect with those people that are not good for us, it'll have a negative influence over us. And then not only does it take us out, but it takes our witness out. And so that's what happened here. That's exactly what happened here. And it's exactly what happened to me. In my haste, I got involved in an unhealthy friendship. And it looked really good on the outside. And this person was offering to help me, and this person was flattering me. And I just thought, and I was actually just knee deep in ministry. And I thought, oh, this person is helping me so much. But it was not a good situation. And I will tell you this. I will tell you that the Lord did caution me about that. I will also tell you that other people did too, but I didn't listen because I was just like Joshua and the Israelites. I mean, I was looking at the fact that, you know, everything on the outside looked fine. Always trust the Lord for your deep, close, personal friendships. Now, had I have listened to God, I could have done the more loving thing and been in ministry to her. Does that make sense? But even in their mistake, God did not leave the Israelites, and he won't leave us inside of our unhealthy friendships. And all we have to do is to come to him and to lean on him. Now, if you want to, one of the things that I say inside of our weekly word series on authentic friendship. That's why I'm doing this podcast. And if you want to go back and read it, all you have to do is go to treasureministries.com and click read the weekly word and then look on the right for the authentic friendship series. We are also going to make this into an online study. So go back, you can go back and look at the whole kit and caboodle on our online on purpose Bible studies. But that will not be coming up until a couple months from now. But anyway, what we can do is we can walk closest with the Holy Spirit. And when we walk closest with the Holy Spirit, that's when we become wise about who we walk with. And we need to trust that discernment from the Holy Spirit. And if there's any sort of control going on from, you know, anybody else, or that rushing for intimacy, we need to stop and pause and pull back and evaluate this situation and inquire the Lord and say, Lord, is this somebody that you want me to be in ministry to, rather than to create this close friendship with? Or it could be somebody that God does not want you to be close with at all. And I know what you're thinking. No, we're called to love everybody. And we are. Absolutely. We are called to love everybody. But the Bible is very clear. God wants us to be discerning about our close personal friendships. And if we are modeling our life after Jesus Christ, we see that Jesus loved everybody. He respected everybody. But Jesus also had a group, a close personal group. He had his disciples. And then within that, he also had Peter, James, and John. And when he went up to the Garden of Gethsemane and poured his heart out towards the Lord, it was Peter, James, and John that he called up to share that intimate moment with. And so we can have the confidence that God will lead us to authentic friendship. But authentic friendship is not having everybody love us and having everybody's approval and having a bazillion close friends. The truth is that studies show that you only have time to be intentional about 25 relationships. And so if you count on your hand, like the relationship maybe that you have at work with your family, you know, that already takes up for me like half. And so then beyond that, you know, we do not have time to be very close and intentional with lots and lots of people. We can love a lot of people, but our close personal friendships, we need to guard our heart so that we can give ourselves fully to our purpose. And the way that you and I do that is that we can be wise about those with whom we walk with by walking closest to the Holy Spirit. You see, healthy biblical friendships are essential, and our faith in God grows when we gather with others that God has given to us. And so, my challenge to you inside of this podcast is to just really consider some of the things that I've said and determine to be wise about your friendships, so that you can do all that God has called you to do. Thanks so much for listening in, everybody. Bye-bye.